So our second prayer experiment is called the Daily Examine. And so if those of you found last week with your prayer experiments that you like praying in the evening, this is should be right up your alley. Mm-hmm. For those who might struggle with falling asleep at night because your brain won't stop, or because or because you're worried about something or anxious about something, or you know, a lot of times they'll tell you if you're having trouble sleeping to just kind of write down all of the things that you're thinking about, and that way they're written down, and so you don't have to worry about trying to remember them all night long. So this an examine is really just sort of taking an inventory of your day, thinking back over it in a way that you probably don't have a chance to do as your day is happening. My day just sort of rolls from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing, and I can have, you know, I can have a significant conversation with someone and recognize in the midst of it that something important is happening, but sometimes I don't get the significance until I'm thinking about it later on, right? Mm-hmm. Or you realize you were having a conversation with someone that just kind of seemed like a, you know, just a friendly or a casual thing. And then, you know, 6 hours later, you think, whoa, wait, I really think I heard that person say this. Was that, how did I miss that the first time? So this is a pretty old spiritual practice. This has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And you said that it was something you were interested in. Or you've tried it before?
No, that when I started reading, I didn't finish the whole thing, but I read the book, a good chunk of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt like lots of the recovery literature that I've read before. Mm. So self-help kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Checking in and seeing.
Yeah. So the
thinking
stuff
about gratitude.
Right. So the material in this first handout that I gave you, a lot of it comes from this book called Sleeping with Bread that I bought multiple copies of at one point and started passing them out. So I think I gave you, did I give you this?
No, I got it online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it looks like a children's book, but it's not. I mean, this is a prayer exercise you can do, like a lot of times families will do a daily examine. And I realized when I was in seminary studying this, that all the years that I was going to my youth group in high school, our associate pastor who did that, he had us doing the daily examen every time we gathered together. And he would call it highs and lows. Mm-hmm. And so at the beginning youth group, he'd say, all right, so what was the best thing that happened to you this week? And what was the worst thing that happened to you this week? Or some, you know, what was the highlight and what was the low light or something like that. I enjoyed it. You know, I probably didn't really think about how my week went until he asked that question. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, fast forward 10 or 15 years later, I'm like, wait, people have been doing this for years. I was like, ooh, I figured out a secret. And then at the same time, I was like, man, that was really sneaky that he did that. That was a foundational practice for our group when it would get together. And I was like, that is so smart.
Is that where the word examine?
Examine, yes. It's okay. Like you examine your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this book, if you're interested, has a lot of suggestions for examining your day or examining a month, or they suggest you can do like a birthday examine. And so when it's your birthday, you take a day or two away and reflect back over the previous year. And so the idea is by looking backwards, it helps you to plan in the future or to take a couple of steps back and maybe see, here's where God has been moving. So maybe I should be doing these things, or here are the places where I'm gonna continue to look for God to be moving. But I think the basic premise is most of our days are rather chaotic, and the hours sort of whiz by, and we probably are not very mindful of what's happening throughout that day. So there's great wisdom in taking 15 or 20 minutes before you go to bed, and including kind of this purposeful recalling of how the day went. So if you look at the handout, these are just suggestions that came from this book. I have another handout that you can take home and read with you that we're not going to look at as a group, but it has more explicit steps to it. I just picked what I thought was the most basic because that would be the easiest to get started, and then you can modify or try some other things. So they suggest, and so the conversation that we were having earlier about defining kind of a prayer space in your home or wherever it is that you tend to pray, you know, going to that place toward the end of the day when it's time to kind of sit down and do this. So whether that means lighting candles like we have in front of us here, or brewing your favorite cup of sleepy time tea, or, you know, if there's a just part of your, like, how do you weave this into your evening ritual kind of after dinner, but, you know, you don't want to do this when you're about ready to fall asleep. It's good to back that up about a half an hour. So the idea is just to find something that will kind of mark, this is now my time to pray. So I'm going to sit in my prayer chair, or I'm going to go for a walk around the block, or I'm going to go find the tree outside that I want to sit under, or moving to my back deck, or, you know, so part of that. So again, that's like the thumbs and the palms, that's kind of triggering, all right, this is my time to pray. And then step two in this book, Sleeping with Bread, it says, become aware of God's loving presence. Sit in silence or read a bit of scripture. Sitting in silence sounds so easy, but it's not. And that might be a prayer experiment that we want to try sometime.
It's one
in
of
the,
my favorite thing.
Is it?
It really, like, I
do like to do it sometimes.
I go sit by the river or up in the woods somewhere or whatever. And I don't recommend doing it at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but I do.
Right.
Yeah. I've had like deer come up and sniff over my shoulder just because I sit there so silently. And I don't think I smell like meat either.
Right. That's right.
But, and I've had like foxes come up and, you know, like touch me.
Wow.
And it's very spiritual to be in that place of silence that you're almost one with the environment. And that's some of the most spiritual moments that I have, is sitting in silence in an environment. Maybe not even having conversation with God, but knowing that was being in his presence was my intent. And
right,
there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really, that's kind of the essence of this step, is whatever you need to do, whether it's sitting in silence or if it's reading, you know, a bit of scripture, and, you know, this is the kind of thing. So if this is something we're going to want to do every evening, it might not hurt to pick just the same scripture passage. And I mean, you can switch it up eventually if you get tired of it. But again, if you create that habit, then, you know, when you read this particular scripture passage, your brain's going to go, oh, wait, we pray. When we read this, that means we're praying. So one example that I included, and if somebody else would like to read this out loud, that would be good, is from Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Would somebody like to read that? So it's somebody other than my voice.
Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light as you.
So there are, I mean, you can kind of pick your own scripture to fill in there, but that feels like a good sort of nighttime centering scripture to think about. And so, again, this is just feeling like you have entered the presence of God in a way that, I mean, we're always in the presence of God, but this is, we want to enter it with great intentionality and purpose at this point in time. So again, silence or reading scripture here is a good idea. And then the exam is actually pretty simple. It's just these two questions that are listed there. They recommend 5 minutes. So I'm sure some days it will take you longer and other days it won't take nearly 5 minutes. And the first set of questions, or the first way of asking these two questions, are: for what moment today am I most grateful? And for what moment today am I least grateful? And there will be days where all you will come up with is the things you are least grateful for. And that's not necessarily the end of the world. And again, if you spend some time reading the Sleeping with Bread book, one of the things it talks about is for those of us who are obnoxious optimists like me, who I would only ever want to focus on what I am most grateful for. Sometimes optimists can get a little Pollyanna-ish and ignore what I'm least grateful for. And that's probably doing a disservice to myself and to my spirituality, because the things that I'm least grateful for, there's a reason for that. And if I'm not exploring what that reason is, then I'm missing a big part of probably what God is trying to tell me, or what I'm supposed to be learning from whatever it is I'm not real grateful for. And so if you could flip it the opposite way, and if you are someone who tends to be more negative, and if it's real easy for you to always come up with all the things you're least grateful for, it may be really important, and especially if you're having a bad day and really struggling with that, you know, not that you can't list what you're least grateful for, but really to spend that time really searching for that one, like if you could at least come up with one thing on the worst day to be grateful for, I think is part of that intention of listening for God's voice during the day when you may have missed it. Do you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure God is speaking to us most of the time, mm-hmm. and we're just too busy to be paying attention and receptive. So, right. So this is a chance to kind of look back over the course of our day and say, oh, well, clearly God was talking to me then and I totally missed it, but now I get it. So good. I mean, at least it's like we talked about with our evaluating how our experience from the week before, even though we maybe things didn't go the way we had planned, we all thought we made progress, at least in the direction that we wanted to do. So even we maybe didn't make our goal, but we're at least moving forward. So then the way to end it would be to praying for those moments, you know, of gratitude, of the good moments, and then figuring out what to do about those places where you're least grateful. So how do you pray about the bad things that happened in your day, or how do you pray about if the moment you were least grateful for was, you know, you screwed up at work and so you're kind of suffering the consequences of a mistake that you made. Like, can you turn that into something that you can be grateful for? Like, well, I did screw up, but I didn't get fired, so that's something. Or, you know, like I did make this mistake, but I realized it, and and I tried to fix it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't just ignore it, and I didn't leave it for somebody else to fix, but I took responsibility for it. So then if you turn the page over, sometimes those are not words that are particularly inspiring in terms of generating good thoughtfulness over the course of your day. So there are other ways of asking the same kinds of questions. And again, this is all from the Sleeping with Bread book. It says, when did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give and receive the least love? When did I feel most alive? When did I feel life draining out of me? When did I have the greatest sense of belonging to myself and others? When did I have the least sense of belonging? When was I happiest? When was I saddest? And then here's my youth pastor's tricky what was today's high point and what was today's low point. So I think as we move into the evening prayer that has been prepared for us, if you think there would be an appropriate time in the service that we could stop and share, do you think there's a place where we could do a little round of...
Maybe at the end.
Sure.
We could do that, because the way the service runs is kind of... There's options to it, but it's pretty prescriptive mm-hmm. in terms of what happens. And it's not really about us as much as it is about God.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, maybe we can... I guess I'm thinking maybe pick which one of those you might want to think about at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want us to say those out loud?
If we want to, yes.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
So maybe at the end I'll give people an opportunity to answer if they want to.
Okay. Or... maybe if we could focus on the, for what moment today am I most grateful and least grateful? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the basic place to start.
And then if they need other things. How much time do we have?
Oh, 15 minutes.
This is going to take a lot longer than I'm going to skip over some things then.
That's fine. But the beautiful thing is now, and if you can email me a copy of this, I can upload this as part of the podcast. So this can be a tool now that we can use as we go home throughout the week.
It's massaged a little bit from... because I got it from, there's a daily prayer thing with Forward Movement. That's our daily bread. Ours is called mm-hmm. Forward Movement. And they've got a thing where you can find sometimes there's a saint associated with a certain day that the church remembers. And in the Episcopal Church, they could be some of the Catholic saints, but they can also be Episcopalian saints that the Catholics don't recognize. And this particular day is for James, the brother of Jesus.
Mm.
And so then there's a special prayer for him that day. But there's other things. The canticles are things that are, if you have a service with music, would be sung. But if you don't have someone playing an instrument, then you would just recite those things. But since we... because this took me about 20 minutes and I was probably going fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably skip a few of these things.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
You just pick what we want to do and we'll just read the rest ourselves later on.
Right. And there's lots of places also where people would stand and sit or kneel. And I thought, well, kneeling's not good for me right now.
Right.
Maybe a lot of other people wouldn't want to either.
Although, look, so, we've got the kneeler over there.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't fit everybody.
Right.
But, so I thought, we don't, if you want to stand, you can stand. I'm probably not going to.
Yeah. No. Sitting is good. It's the end of the day.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
And I tried to put in directions so that we would know what to do mm-hmm. anyway. So
well, you just coach us through and
yeah. Well, you put a lot of work into this.
Yeah, you did. Oh, this goodness. Is great.
And if you use the prayer book, they list all of the different like the first one, Oh Gracious Light. There's other stuff you can put in there that's interchangeable, other things that can go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that usually would be sung, like there's a hymn that's an equivalent for that.
Mm-hmm.
But so the evening prayer service, it goes kind of fast, but there's lots of moving parts
mm-hmm.
in it. Anyway, so to start with, I'll say, grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make speed to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun, and our eyes behold the vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices, O Son of God, O Giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. Let us read Psalm 112 responsively by the whole verse. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in his commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is right. They put their trust in the Lord.
The heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
And we all say, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We'll skip the next psalm and go to the reading from Isaiah. Valerie,
okay,
would you like
someone
to read that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, a reading from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Here ends the reading.
And then the next one would be sung if we had music. And I'm going to go ahead and skip that. It's a nice one for talking about the natural order, but it's a long one. So unless somebody else wants to, I'll go ahead and read from Hebrews. I liked this one too.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it many become defiled. See to it that no one becomes like Esau, an immoral and godless person who sold his birthright for a single meal. You know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, even though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire, and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Here ends the reading. Hmm. And then most of you probably know the Magnificat. That would be another thing that we would say. Mm-hmm. But let's go to the next page, page 5. we'll read, let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And now, as our Savior taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray suffrages be to the Lord, saying, we entreat you, O Lord, that this evening may be holy, good, and peaceful.
We entreat you, O Lord,
that your holy angels may lead us in paths of peace and goodwill.
We entreat you, O Lord,
that we may be pardoned and forgiven of our sins and offenses.
We entreat you, O Lord,
that there may be peace to your church and to the whole world.
We entreat you, O Lord,
that we may depart this life in your faith and fear and not be condemned before the great judgment seat of Christ.
We entreat you, O Lord,
that we may be bound together by your Holy Spirit in the communion of all your saints, entrusting one another and all our life to Christ.
We entreat you, O Lord.
And then together let us pray the following prayers.
Grant, O God, that following the example of your servant, James the Just, brother of our Lord, your church may give itself continually to prayer and to the reconciliation of all who are at variance and enmity, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
O God,
the life of all who live, the light of the faithful, the strength of those who labor, and the repose of the dead, we thank you for the blessings of the day that is past, and humbly ask for your protection through the coming night. Bring us in safety to the morning hours,
through him who died and rose again for us, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
O God,
and Father of all, whom the whole heavens adore, let the whole earth also worship you. All nations obey you. All tongues confess and bless you. And men and women everywhere love you and serve you in peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us evermore.
Amen. Amen.
And if you'd like to share what you are most grateful for or what you are least grateful for. You know, for me, it was another visit with the doctor, and I wear this for 2 more weeks, and then I get transition into I can't think of the word, a brace for my ankle.
Oh, good. And,
but I'll be able to wear sneakers, so it's not fancy, but
good.
That was good news today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have a least grateful moment?
I had one before, and now I've forgotten what it was. I have plenty of those.
Probably my most grateful moment was my car went to the doctor today. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what was wrong. And I lost sleep this morning imagining just all of the terrible things and how much it was going to cost. And they fixed it, and it was very reasonable. And I don't take very good care of my car, so I would have totally deserved if it had been a lot more, a lot worse than that. So I feel like that is a bit of mercy that I
was going to say. I hope you went to a good place, but you must have.
Yeah. Well, I haven't picked it up yet, so I'll let you know tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that was what I was most grateful for. I wonder what I was least grateful for. Probably the fact that I was so anxious. In the morning, I woke up at like 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the morning, and I could not fall back asleep. And I probably should have used that as a time of prayer. And had I framed that as a time for prayer, I probably could have fallen back asleep. But instead, I just was like running at 60% most of the day because I was so tired. So,
me too.
So that seems. So it was kind of my most grateful and my least grateful, all sort of rolled up in the in the same thing, which happens pretty often. So I did have a little nap before I came here, and I'm planning on going to bed earlier tonight. But anybody else have a most grateful or least grateful? Maybe both, maybe only one or the other?
My most grateful is that I got a personal best with one of my lifts. We did push press at the gym, which is over your head.
Mm-hmm.
So 85 pounds, which is 20 more than I did before.
Nice.
Good. So, and then my least grateful was that today, for the second day in a row, I had a headache. It just sort of moved around for 2 days and did different things. But so I really needed and wanted to do a lot of paperwork, and I could not. So I had to lay down, which I always feel is a waste.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do that, but the silver lining,
mm-hmm.
it's not definitely not the most grateful, but the silver lining is that it finally went away, so I could get up and do some stuff and still go to the gym.
Mm-hmm. And people gave you good tips on Facebook. I saw that
they did.
Yeah, peppermint oil.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oil, I was like, I know all that. I always hesitate to post that because everybody's gonna do that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You might get a new
you
suggestion.
Never know. It might be something. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Anybody else have most grateful?
I made it here today.
Yes.
Yes.
That's good. Yes, Kim and I had a conversation earlier about, I don't know if I'm going to make it. So that's good.
That is good.
Least grateful. it hurts way more than I want it to hurt right now.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Me.
Mm-hmm. If you have something.
Yeah, I do. my least grateful was going to the doctor this morning for my back and not really having a whole lot of what I thought was good news or things that might help.
Helpful, yeah.
But my best moment, I guess, or most grateful, was seeing a young lady who had worked in our office for while she was going to undergrad at Shawnee State. And she came in today and she got her first car. She became a registered nurse at Shawnee State.
Awesome.
And not Shawnee State, at SOMC.
Mm-hmm.
And bought her first new car today. So
nice.
It's pretty neat.
That's mm-hmm. cool.
It's nice to see her because she's kind of a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But they all are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good... If I don't do something like this, my whole day can just be a blur. And I put my head down at night, and I don't spend any time debriefing or thinking back over the course of the day. And there, a lot of times I look back and I go, well, I shouldn't have said that. That needs an apology to going forward tomorrow. Huh. You know, so there can be kind of a confessional element to this, too. Mm-hmm. And so the second handout that I'll give you, I think, actually does have, you can just take one and pass them around. I think it does have an element of confessing if there are things that need to be confessed throughout from the day, and then kind of an intention of, so how am I going to live my life differently tomorrow, and is there forgiveness that needs to be asked for from someone, or is there forgiveness that needs to be extended to someone? So as we meander our way home this evening, it might be interesting to think about the most and the least grateful, and so is there any carryover that we need to be thinking about going into tomorrow? And or, you know, for me, the next time I'm worried or anxious about something, how about take it to the Lord in prayer a little sooner, so that you save yourself a lot of lost hours of sleep? And, you know, I don't know that you can do a whole lot for, you know, headaches and physical pain and things, but probably if you can, you know, so how do you turn pain into an opportunity for prayer? If you could figure that out.
Sometimes you cry and beg for relief.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you can
right.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Not today, I didn't have to do that, but I have had to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have learned that, like, when you're in pain, if you pray for the gratefulness of being able to have that pain, because without it, you might not know that you're sick or injured,
yeah.
or if you think about leprosy. And it is a lack of feeling, so people damage their body and they don't even realize they damage it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can feel those things, then it's kind of a blessing. It doesn't make it any better sometimes,
right.
but
right.
it kind of puts your mind in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always the best at that.
Right, right. Yeah.
Is it kind of like the man that's, or the... Was it Jacob that struggled with the man
right.
Oh, yeah,
all night?
Yeah.
Right.
And that persistence and the keep going and keep fighting and not giving up.
Yeah.
That's a very good story to hang on to in difficult.
Now that I understand it.
Yeah, I know.
That's the beauty of coming to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah,
hearing
the sermon,
more about.
Then you understand.
Yeah.
That was,
Well, and then Sunday school got all kinds of stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor that I didn't have time for in the sermon. So we had lots of conversations about when you see you know, sort of artist depictions of the story of Jacob wrestling with this mysterious man, a lot of times Jacob is wrestling with an angel. And it's not a precious moments angel. It's like a big, scary angel with big, fearsome wings. And you know, the Genesis, what is it, chapter 32? Doesn't say, I mean, it calls him a man.
It doesn't call him an angel.
But in Hosea writes about that story, and he says it was an angel.
Oh, really?
So that's, so we've kind of, historically, we've sort of conflated those two stories into one. So, I mean, and it could have been an angel.
We don't know.
And there's lots of, isn't there a verse that says something about God sending angels and that we're unaware that they're angels?
Mm-hmm.
They look like men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Entertaining angels unaware. Yeah.
Like all the movies that are silly to have, you know, just some dude is an angel.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Well, I appreciate that you came this week. I appreciate that you put the evening prayer service together.
I'm sorry I missed the beginning. I was like, we're usually done at the 1 hour mark, but we had a longer one today.
Yeah. Well, and we're running a little longer than we normally do here too. So, let us this week practice the examine. That is 15 or 20 minutes before bed, theoretically, and, you know, turn off the TV and turn off the music. And, I mean, unless music helps you to focus.
You can find meditation music on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So it is funny because as much as I love music I work to music sometimes, I can't when I'm trying to do something like this.
Right.
I have silence.
Yeah, I do normally do this with silence. So let's try that for the week, and we'll gather together again next Wednesday.
Gather together.
And it would be good. Try to keep track. As you were saying earlier, sometimes it's helpful to mark which days you're able to kind of get things done. Like, come up with your own little extra calendar page, or maybe use your calendar and just put a little...
It's like Fitbit for prayer.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we'll gather together again and we'll see how that went. And I'm particularly will be interested if doing this in the evening, and we may do this for a week and then get back together and kind of talk about, boy, this really didn't work for me until I figured this part out, and then it really made sense. So this may be something we want to do for 2 or 3 weeks, just to kind of really kind of settle into that. Again, they say it takes 21 days to make a habit. So if we can try to aim for 21 days of something like this, it would be good. So, all right. Well, we'll see you next time.
All right.
Mm-hmm.